So if you're just tuning in this Sunday, we started last week looking at a handful of stories about the people of Israel who are moving from slavery towards the promised land, the land that God promised their ancestor Abraham. And what we've learned, and probably most of you already know, is that this journey wasn't always so smooth. When they had escaped slavery at the hand of Pharaoh with God's help, they didn't take the expressway from Cairo to Jerusalem. They ended up taking the back roads. And as it turns out later on, we'll discover that they have to do this over again. Why are we talking about this? Well, it is a reminder to us that we are on a journey too. Not only are we headed towards Easter, which is our biggest church holiday of the year, but we're also on a journey called life, and we're headed towards something called eternity. And my hope is that all of us can learn something from the expedition that the Israelites went on so that we don't have to repeat the mistakes of the past. If most of you have heard the philosopher George Santayana, who said, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." And I think that's very true, and so we want to learn from our spiritual ancestors of not to repeat the mistakes that they made. But not only that, but I'm also reminded of this follow-up saying, those who study history are doomed to repeat it, yet those who do study history are doomed to stand by helplessly while everyone else repeats it. Right? Isn't it true? It's uncomfortably true. I mean, don't we stand by helplessly as we see history repeat itself time and time again with mass violence? What is it next month? Ups and downs, repeating again and again. And it reminds me, with these ups and downs, Rachel told me about a poem written several weeks ago by a high schooler. His name, Alex Schotter, and he wrote a poem for his English class, and this is it. He says, "Life is like a roller coaster. It has some ups and downs. Sometimes you can take it slow or very fast. It may be hard to breathe at times, but you have to push yourself and keep going. Your bar is your safety. It's like your family and friends. You hold on tight, but you don't let go. But sometimes you might throw your hands up because your friends and family will always be with you, just like that bar keeping you safe at all times. It may be too much for you, the twists, the turns, the upside downs, but you get back up and you keep chugging along. And eventually it comes to a stop. You won't know when or how, but you will know that'll be the time to get off and start anew. Life is like a roller coaster." Alex died in that shooting in Florida on Valentine's Day. You don't know when it's going to end. And life is definitely like a roller coaster because it eventually comes to a stop. And when I think about preaching in general, I'm convinced that part of what I do on a Sunday morning is preparation, not only how to live this life, but also to be ready, all of us to be ready when life ends. And learning from our spiritual ancestors is one of those ways. And the other part of it is to learn from the one who will be waiting for us when we take our last breath. I mean, I want to absorb as much as I can when I study. When I get ready for a message, I am studying. I want to learn as much as I can from the master teacher, because Jesus is smarter than I am. He is stronger than I am. He is wiser than I am. And he beat death at his own game. I mean, I think that's why we look at Scripture versus any other book. It has everything we need to sustain us, provided we take the time to understand what is written. And it does take discernment to understand some of the portions of Scripture that we all look at. Now, with that being said, we heard last week that the Israelites had escaped slavery through the hand of God, through miracles, through crossing the Red Sea on dry land, and then they started walking in earnest towards this thing called the Promised Land. And 3 days into that trek, they were getting a little thirsty and a little panicky. They came across a body of water, but it was undrinkable. They complained to Moses that he should have left them in Egypt as slaves because that would be better. And that this bitter water is just a reflection of their bitter attitudes. But what we see is that God is good because God provides fresh water for them by changing that bitter pond or pool, whatever it was, into something that was drinkable, even though they were complaining against Moses and against God. So the water is turned fresh, and they drink to their heart's content. They fill their water bottles because they're environmentally conscious, and they move on. So they end up at an oasis to rest and refill again. And then as soon as they set out from this next oasis, the complaining starts up again. So last week, I talked about the fact that they were saying, we're thirsty. Now this week, it's I'm hungry. I mean, I'm kind of ready for next week being, are we there yet, right? I mean, it's like a typical trip with kids. See, they've already witnessed God's hand at work. They're only 2 weeks in, well, 2 weeks and a day into this journey towards the Promised Land, and they're complaining again about being hungry. And we hear what they complain. If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. It was as if they said, you know, when life was good, we wished God would have killed us then rather than having us walk out here to have God killed us. And then they add in this commentary, like, and besides, when we were slaves, you know, when life was good, do you hear the disconnect here? When life was good when we were slaves, we sat around with pots of meat like we were like living in Las Vegas and going to all-you-can-eat buffets all the time. Life was really good as a slave. I'm calling false on this claim. At different times in our lives, we've all done this. You know, we look back on a part of our life and we say, well, life was better, life was simpler, life was easier, whatever. But if you could go back and talk to yourself, do you know what you'd be reminded of? All the things that weren't right and could be better. But we forget those things when we look back. We create this idyllic picture of what life was like back then. Like somehow we have this airbrush and we airbrushed away all the things that weren't so pretty. And we only remember this idyllic scene of the way we want to remember it. It's actually called being nostalgic. When we take trips down memory lane, we repaint the picture a little bit. And there's nothing wrong with looking back fondly over the memories you've had over the years, but it can absolutely affect how you perceive the present. Let me put it a different way. If you exaggerate your past, it will make your present worse. Even if the times before were simpler, the bad news is we can't go back. We can't be Marty McFly and jump into our DeLorean and go back and relive our past. As much as we might want to, we can't. But often we take those trips into our head to relive and paint them as somehow being better than they actually were. It will only serve to make our present more miserable. You see this among the Israelites already. I mean, life was better as slaves when we were beaten and we had to work from sunup to sundown and we never got paid and we ate as much meat as we wanted, or so their memories told them. But God provided again. I mean, you'd think after a while, I mean, if God was human, completely human, he'd be like, enough of the complaining, I'm done. But God provides even when they say, we're hungry, and you want to kill us. And God provides something called manna from heaven. By the way, this is the first animated GIF I've ever put in a PowerPoint presentation. And it only took me 6 hours to do this. So that's, you know, it was time well spent. We could just leave it here and watch it the rest of the morning. But manna, this bread-like, crusty-like substance, the word in Hebrew actually means, what is it? What is it? And yet God provides for them and also quail to eat. But it isn't just a hunger issue. Like last week, it wasn't just about water. Well, this definitely isn't just about food. Matter of fact, if we skipped ahead in this journey towards the promised land, if we went all the way to the book of Numbers, where they're still on this journey, and in chapter 11 of the book of Numbers, we come back almost to the same story. They're complaining about food again. Matter of fact, they're actually complaining about the menu now. We're tired of manna. We're tired of the gift of God. We want something else. Matter of fact, they grumble that they used to be able to eat. Now it's not pots of meat. If we used to be able to have as much fresh fish as we wanted when we were slaves. And the fact is, now we're in the desert and there aren't any good sushi restaurants out here at all. And so we're totally hating this scene. They're complaining. They want more again because of their perceived past. At this point, even now, Moses is at wit's end in Numbers chapter 11. You should really read that chapter this week. He complains to God at this point. Like, he's so fed up. He's like, I feel like I'm a father of a bunch of adopted babies who whine all the time. Kind of what he says. So God responds to Moses and says, I hear you, buddy. And he raises up leaders so that Moses doesn't carry the burden alone. So first of all, God sympathizes with Moses. And then finally, to try to get the point into the Israelites that they're grumbling way too much and talking about their past, probably disconnected past way too much, this is what happens. Now the Lord will give you meat, says to the Israelites, and you will eat it. You will not eat it for just 1 day or 2 days or 5 or 10 or 20, but for the whole month until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it. I think we had this conversation at dinner time with our kids. You're going to eat it, and you're going to eat it, and keep eating it, and you're going to like it. That's right. Because he has got to treat them like kids in a lot of ways. Because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wailed before him saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? You want meat? You got it. So much is coming out your nose. But it's not about the food. Matter of fact, God sends quail, so much quail, into the camp, and everywhere the eye could see that it was like 3 feet high, like quail stacked through. It'd be like shoveling quail, like shoveling snow, right? But it wasn't just food. And the issue wasn't just nostalgia. It led to this idea of craving and wanting more and wanting different, and craving turned into complaining. Enough was never enough. There was a lack of satisfaction and an absence of contentment. When nothing is ever good enough, it'll actually make you miserable. When you only see what you don't have, you have a hard time seeing what the blessings you do have. They couldn't see God's care and provision time and time again because they were so focused on the things they didn't have. And you know what that leads to? It leads to worry. Worrying about what you don't have and convincing yourself that if you had this thing that you absolutely need to survive or thrive, you will achieve eternal happiness on earth. Funny enough, Jesus speaks to this issue. He really does. Matter of fact, he speaks so directly to this issue that you would think he's actually talking to the people of Israel in the desert at this very moment, but he's not. He's talking to us about the same issues. And as you hear the stories of the Exodus, and you're concerned with their attitude, or you feel sorry for them, or if you're thinking to yourself, well, if I was there, I wouldn't be like that, you've missed the point. This is about our attitudes. This is about our actions. This is about our missteps. I'm just trying to show you that humanity hasn't changed all that much. So Jesus speaks to this issue as if he was there, helping them think through this. And more importantly, actually, Jesus is speaking to us in this moment right here so that we can get through this roller coaster of life, through the ups and the downs, when we get into a funk about our past, and then it leads to complaining and wanting a change of circumstances. Jesus says, look, so do not worry asking what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear. And the list goes on. This is just abbreviated. Fill in the blank. For pagans, those who don't believe in God, they run after all these things. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. By the way, somebody at First Service said they couldn't read that picture on the left. It says, anxiety girl, able to jump to the worst conclusion in a single bound. We do that. So Jesus says to us, essentially, take a breath. Breathe. God knows what you need, and he can separate it out from what you want. And God's listening. I mean, that's why Christianity is not a solitary pursuit. We're on this journey together for a reason. That's why God gave us the gift of the church, that we're in this together, so that there are times when there's something that we truly need, not just want, and we're struggling. We're here to take care of each other. When we're doing what God intends. And I'll just tell you, I'm really thankful that we are a church that cares deeply for one another, and we want to continue to cultivate that. If you had come to our congregational meeting 2 weeks ago, it's one of the things that I talked about, that we need to continue to work on and deepen. I mean, we're good at it, but we can be better, and that's one of the things that's on my agenda item, is how do we continue to grow as a community and grow deeper? But Jesus goes on. He wants us to see and fully understand the uselessness of living in the past, a past we cannot change, even if it was better. Because that grumbling, that living in the past turns to grumbling, which can turn into worry. So he says here, this is what you need to set your sights on. He says, instead, seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. And all these things that you need will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So this is the thing that the Israelites miss time and time again, and we can too if we're not tuned in. Jesus says this, if we seek or attempt to seek the way things are handled in God's kingdom, and if we seek the righteousness that comes from God, let's clarify that. A righteousness that begins and ends in relationship. Because God created us like God's self to be in community. So if we seek that righteousness of being in relationship with Jesus and each other, what's going to happen is that worrying and complaining are going to diminish in our lives. It never quite goes away because we're human. But making God bigger in our life has the ability to make other things smaller. And as they get spiritually smaller, the less we worry about it, the less we complain about it, and we won't we won't grouch as much. Even, I mean, I don't want you to think this is all trivial. This is even true in the big stuff that we cannot change. The bigger God is in our life, the less things consume our thoughts. And I'll tell you how true this is where the rubber meets the road. I have spent a lot of time over the years with Christians at the end of their lives. And there's a big difference between those who rest in that righteous relationship with God and those who are afraid because they don't know what is next. So this isn't about small stuff. This is about big stuff, too. Even stuff people can't change. So this isn't really a story about food. It's where our hearts and our minds are centered. One of the greatest quotes I've heard used in Matthew chapter 6, and I've told it to you before, I just want to remind you, Bill Hybels, pastor of Willow Creek Church outside of Chicago, in his book, Too Busy Not to Pray, he says this, if you have time to worry, you have time to pray. Yeah. I've prayed many times on this roller coaster of life, and I'll be honest with you, I've prayed many times on roller coasters too. Because you've made me go on them. It's not my first choice in an amusement park. But we have a good Father, a good, good Father in heaven who hears our prayers. And it promises to calm our worried hearts. Also to remind us that we can only move forward when we're not living in the past, that in order to drive into the future, we can't always be looking into the rearview mirror. Amen.